and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central. Covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. It is a hot one outside today. Man, oh man. I was out doing some work earlier. It wasn't quite as hot. Now it's blazing out there. We've got intern Nathan in with us. What's up today, buddy? You get outside and do anything in the heat?
I was working all morning, so I didn't get outside, but driving here, I sure felt it. 86 degrees, so.
Hey, I like the heat. I'd much rather have this than cold and snow. So, I have a great discussion here, Nathan. I want to pick everybody's brain on this, okay? I heard one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my entire life last night. Now, this came out a couple of days ago, but I just heard it for the first time last night. So, Micah Parsons played football at Penn State. Superstar. Nathan, did you hear this?
I honestly, God, have not heard the story yet.
Okay, so. This is good. All right. So, Micah Parsons, he likes to talk. You know, Micah Parsons, he's going to be a media celebrity for the next 30 years because he's a good football player, but he just loves to talk about everything. So, Micah Parsons recently was asked if he played a full Major League Baseball season.
Oh, yeah. I know where we're going now.
What would his batting average be? Now, I want everybody to understand that we're going to have a good discussion on this today in a lot of different layers. Because so he was asked if he had 800 at-bats in a full season, which is, you know, very few guys get 800 at-bats, but still. So let's just say a full season of Major League Baseball. What would his batting average be? And Micah Parsons, who has never played baseball. Now, maybe he played T-ball or Little League or something, but he didn't play junior high, he didn't play high school. Micah Parsons said that he could bat 200 in the major leagues.
Worst take ever, maybe? That is a horrendous take.
So that's what got me thinking, that the dumbest thing I've ever heard from an athlete is Kyrie Irving with his flat earth. I don't give a damn if I offend any of you. If you're out there and you believe the earth is flat, you're a bleeping effing moron. Okay? Period. And so, Kyrie Irving saying that the earth is flat, I've always used that as an example of an incompetent moron take from an athlete. But you know what, Nathan? I think Micah Parsons saying that he could hit 200 in the major leagues is dumber than the incompetent moron take of the flat earther Kyrie Irving. What do you think of that?
I think it's purely dumber just in the fact that it would never happen because you're going to have people believing whatever they want to believe. You can't change people's beliefs sometimes. But, I mean, when you're talking, if you had to go prove it, he would not even sniff 200. So I think that's probably in line for the worst take.
Anybody want to weigh in on which one of these takes
They're both extremely dumb. They're both extremely
946-0435. Is it dumber to believe that the earth is flat? And Kyrie Irving went to Duke, and he was only there for a year. I don't know if he went to any classes. If you remember when he was at Duke, he was injured for, like, I want to say the first 15, 18 games of that season. So who knows if he was going to any damn classes. But he was at Duke anyway. What's dumber, the flat earth possibility or believing that when you've never played baseball – that you could bat 200 in the major leagues? Now, I've got the Trump card here, Nathan. Here's why one is dumber. There are literally, I've tried to find numbers on this, and it's hard to find. There are literally hundreds of thousands of people on this planet who believe the earth is flat.
Yeah.
Dare I say millions? Probably. We have 8 billion people on this planet. Yeah, 330 million people in this country alone. Judging by the number of the amount of discussion that's been around, I think it's easy to assume that well more than 1 million people 100%. On this planet believe the Earth is flat.
100%.
The number might, out of 8 billion people, the number might be 10, 20 million, for God's sake. There can't be 10 or 20 million people so idiotic to have never played baseball that think that they could hit 200 in the majors. You see what I'm getting at? So based on that, just from a sheer mathematics standpoint, there are more people who believe that the Earth is flat than I can possibly imagine that think that they could step, if they knew anything about baseball, that they could step in and hit 200 in the major leagues.
Safe assumption. I mean, I honestly, I've never heard someone say they'd hit 200 in the major leagues. I think people would even be baffled to get a hit in a single season.
So, Tyler Glasnow, former Pirates pitcher, now with the Dodgers, he was asked on a podcast, and this is how it came up within the last day or two. He was asked if Micah Parsons batted 500 times. So the 800 number, that's just a wild number. You don't get that many at-bats in the big leagues. But he was asked 500 times, if Micah Parsons batted 500 times in the major leagues, how many hits would he get? And Tyler Glasnow said 5. Now, Mookie Betts was on his own podcast. And I don't know who he was talking to. I didn't recognize the guy. Mookie Betts said Micah Parsons would get 0 hits in 500 at-bats.
Yeah.
And the other guy who was with, who I think he was a baseball player, said he thought he would get 6, 7, 8 or something like that. Okay, so here's the thing about baseball, all right? Could Micah Parsons in 500 at-bats throw his bat at a ball and have it ricochet in some crazy direction to where he could get on base? Yes, he could conceivably. Once, twice, 3 times out of 500 at-bats. Beyond that, I'm with Tyler Glasnow. 5 is the ceiling. It's probably, in my mind, more. Again, folks, we're not talking Michael Jordan here. Michael Jordan played high school baseball. Bo Jackson played collegiate baseball. Jameis Winston played college baseball. Patrick Mahomes played college baseball. You can go from one sport to another. Brian Jordan was a name during Deion Sanders' time. He and Deion played both baseball in the NFL. Micah Parsons never played high school baseball. I don't even believe he ever played junior high baseball. I doubt he's ever faced a pitch faster than like 50 miles an hour. Seriously, if you only played Little League, you'll face 50, 55. If you end there, you will never face a live pitch above 50 miles an hour in your life. So, what's your number? I'm going to go just for the sake of miracle. I'm throwing my bat at it. I mean, a blind monkey, you close your eyes and you just throw your bat. You might get, I'd put the over under at 2.5. I'd say 2 hits. What do you got?
I was just about to say 2 to 3, somewhere in that area, just because something can happen. If you make contact, it could happen. But I just don't think that, I mean, the more I think about it, the more it might even be 0. Because I don't think, it depends what pitcher you got up there. I mean, if you got the worst pitcher in the majors, he might be able to get 5 hits. But
the current worst pitchers in the majors. Well, actually, okay, let me throw out this theory, okay? Terrible pitchers who are all over the place, they would scare Micah Parsons more because he wouldn't know.
Get him against Aroldis Chapman in there.
Correct. Who he might actually get hit in the head by Aroldis Chapman.
103 mile an hour fastball.
Right now, we're not talking Greg Maddux, though, in 89. And if you get, theoretically, if you batted 500 times on Greg Maddux, who I believe is the greatest right-handed pitcher of all time, just pure pitcher, not best stuff. Best stuff is a different discussion. Pure pitcher, Greg Maddux could throw 6 pitcher strikes. Could a guy who's never played baseball guess? If you struck out 500 times, you're facing 1,500 pitches. Could you theoretically guess right on 5 of those pitches and just put your bat in the same place or bunt one and beat it out? That's mathematically feasible, right?
Yeah, yeah. A guy like Greg Maddux, like you said, throwing high
89.
80s. Yeah, you could do it against him.
But Micah Parsons wasn't talking about when Greg Maddux was playing. He's throwing now. He's talking about guys throwing 96 to 98.
Yeah, rarely will you see a guy throwing high 80s, low 90s in the majors now. Everybody's kind of mid-90s. And, I mean, the only stuff that's going to be high 80s is maybe even a changeup nowadays. So
I'm serious because anybody want to jump in on this? 9460435. Which is a worse take? Kyrie Irving, the earth is flat, or Micah Parsons thinking he could bat 200. A 200 batting average? That's 100 hits, man. That's 100 hits and 500 at-bats.
Never. Never will happen.
We're giving him 2 to 3. Maybe. Mookie Betts said he would get 0. Okay, so the reason I think this is a fascinating question is we are so clueless as to how difficult it is. To hit a baseball.
Have you ever seen the videos of the umpire cams?
Oh my God. Oh
never,
my God.
Never will you hit one.
I played baseball up to 16. How long did you play?
13.
Okay. I was a tremendous hitter when I was younger. I had great bat speed. I had a bunch of home runs over the fence. I was real fast. Around 11 and 12, it gets real. Now you're talking curveballs and stuff. And now you're talking a very different thing. And then 13, 14, 15. Now you're getting into 70, 75, 80 miles an hour. So when I was 15, we had a kid. He was like 6'7", big, tall kid at 15 years old. He threw about 83, all right? And I remember I got a hit off him, okay? I could put the ball in play to a degree, and I could foul some off 83. That's the most I've ever faced in my life, 83. And if I knew a fastball was coming from that guy when I was 15, 16, I could put it in play, okay? The difference between 83 and 93 and 98 and sliders,
mm-hmm.
No, I think that people in this country, in this world, are so unbelievably clueless when it comes to how difficult it is to hit pitching at that level.
Absolutely. I mean, again, unless you haven't seen the videos, you probably think going in there hitting a 90 mile an hour fastball, you just got to turn and hit the ball. I mean, that's not it. So you gotta identify the pitch. You gotta see if it's gonna break. You know, major league players, they don't get enough credit for even hitting 200, let alone 250, 300. They don't get anywhere near the credit they deserve. And then you gotta put the ball in play too. You gotta put the bat in the right spot.
Yeah, and so, I deal with this a lot just right now as a youth coach. I don't want to give any names. Some of you know youth baseball. You'll know what I'm talking about. There's a young man, an elite level pitcher out in Hollidaysburg. He's 12 years old. He was clocked in our game last week throwing 71 miles an hour at 12 years old from 46 feet. Okay. A 71 mile an hour fastball from 46 feet is the equivalent of a 93 mile an hour fastball from 60 feet. Okay. So I have firsthand knowledge. I was watching it. It's unbelievable. It's to see a 12-year-old throwing 71 is insane. Now, I work out, my son and I, we work out all winter with another couple boys from Holidays. One's 14, one's 11. And the 14-year-old throws 70. Okay, so over the winter, we got out at ERA, over at the batting cage over at ERA, and we're working out and everything. He wanted to pitch to me. I've been a good baseball player. I can still play. But he wanted to pitch to me, and he was throwing from 46 feet. He was. I don't know if he was quite hitting 70, but he was upper 60s. All right, and I was getting pissed because I couldn't get anything clean. I got a few foul tips, and from 46 feet again, just 70 miles an hour. That's the equivalent of a 90 plus mile an hour fastball mm-hmm. in the major leagues. And I was getting mad. Now later on, I did work out with the kid, and I was facing him from 60 feet, and I could hit the ball pretty well. Yeah. It's 60 feet, throwing from 70 miles an hour. I got a bunch of hits. I was hitting it fair. It was still tough. It's still fast. But that's just 70 miles an hour, okay? And I play baseball literally every day to some degree. So to think that a guy who's never played baseball could go hit 97 one time, I think back to me trying to hit the 70 miles an hour from 46 feet and just how unbelievably frustrating it is. And you can try to make all the adjustments in the world. You're not catching up to it, man. You're just not.
Yeah, not 90 miles an hour will go by in the blink of an eye. So you
did you ever face anybody super fast in Little League or anything?
Probably mid to high 60s was the fastest, probably around that area. But I mean, it was tough. It was tough to get a hit off him.
All right, so we got Dave in Hollidaysburg. Dave, what do you think? What's dumber, man, the flat earth thing from Kyrie Irving or Micah Parsons claiming he had 200 of the majors?
Well, the flat earth thing is just wackadoodle. I mean, seriously. But I think that's the crazier thing. But as far as Micah Parsons saying he could hit 200 pitches, that's crazy too, because you're not just talking speed. I mean, you guys run 90 miles an hour, whatever, but also their control.
Yeah.
They're going to figure out where Micah Parsons is going to swing the bat, and they're not going to give him squat to hit.
If Micah Parsons' face...
They're going to throw him inside.
Right.
They're going to throw at his head and scare the crap out of him.
If he faced 1,000 off-speed pitches in the major leagues, 1,000 hard sliders and cutters and all that, I'm not sure he gets his bat on one.
No, if he's never trained for it, the eye-hand coordination, things of that nature, he has no chance of hitting a major league baseball pitch.
Yeah.
No way, because just like I said, they're going to throw it where they want to and anticipate, if he doesn't have training, how to adjust to how fast does the ball come at you. He doesn't have time to do any of that.
Do you think that
because he's an athlete,
right?
He's a great athlete.
So
he's
Nathan
a great
and
football
I,
player.
Nathan and I were talking about this right before the show, and this is one segue I wanted to make about like athletes throwing out first pitches. You ever seen athletes or even entertainers who can probably, you know, 50 Cent is the one guy. He's an entertainer, but you know he was a boxer. I think he's probably an athlete. You ever see these guys, especially football players, Steelers players who have come here to Curve Games, try to throw first pitches?
Jaden Daniels just did it last night in Washington. It was way outside.
Really?
Yeah.
The quarterback.
Quarterback for the
Not even close.
Not even close. Way off the plate.
So Micah Parsons and C.J. Stroud did one when they visited Tokyo, and they at least got it up there. So, but yeah, what do you think about that, Dave, when these guys get up there and try to throw first pitches and, like, they're 30 feet off?
It's not their sport. It's like swim a 50-yard freestyle. They don't do it.
Yeah.
It's horrible. It looks bad. They can't do it because they're not trained for it. Micah Parsons, probably since he's, what, 8, been playing football?
Yeah. Probably 6, maybe.
That's what he's trained to do.
Yeah.
That's his whole biomechanics, his entire body is attuned to playing football. It's not attuned to playing baseball. He has absolutely no chance of hitting a baseball from a professional ball player. It would have to be, he hits a baseball, go buy a lottery ticket.
Nice. Good stuff, buddy. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. Again, the larger discussion here is we were discussing about eras on Tuesday, about comparing eras in the NBA, comparing eras in pro football. We didn't get to spend a lot of time on baseball, so I wanted to kind of revisit this a little bit. But we watch enough – we watch all these games now. And because we watch games and we see guys take pitches down the middle or whatever, we sit there in our recliner and we say, what a bum. What are you doing? How are you taking that? And we don't realize that they have like 0.04 seconds to decide whether they're going to swing, and then like 0.32 seconds to decide where the ball is and if they're going to put the bat. We don't think about it in those kinds of terms.
It's too short of a time. You got, I don't even know the time the pitch delivered to the plate, but it's not enough time for the average person to make a quick decision and, you know, get wood on the ball. So it's not easy.
All right. So making a shot in the NBA, catching a pass in the NFL, or putting the ball in play in major. We're not even going to say getting a hit. Which one do you think would be the easiest, second easiest, most difficult? Making a shot in the NBA, now you got to get open.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to make some kind of move. You can't just throw up some 40-footer. So making a shot in an NBA game, catching a pass in an NFL game, again, you're going to take a giant shot at the line of scrimmage from a cornerback within 5 yards. You're going to get hit, and then you've got to find a way to get open, and then you've got to see the ball, catch the ball, complete the catch while you're getting destroyed, or hitting a ball in play in Major League Baseball. What do you got?
Making a shot in the NBA 10 times out of 10 is the easiest of that category, because you can get lost in the defense, and there's a chance you – put up a three and it goes in. I think that's the best shot of anything. You're going to get jammed at the line of scrimmage in the NFL, and you know that there's going to be, I mean, just think about it. You run maybe a 10-yard curl route, and you're sitting there just knowing, you know, a safety's just going to take your head off in a second. So, you know, you might even drop the ball at that point. And that ball's coming in.
It's hot, too.
I don't know if you've ever seen some of these people try to catch these NFL balls that are not wide receivers. They cannot do it.
It's, Stuart Scott, the late, great sportscaster for ESPN, he took a ball in the eye, messing, you know, with sports, you know, sportscasters go out on the jugs machine.
Yeah.
And it really messed up his eye. He had to have surgery. A good buddy of mine texted me, says, catching a bubble screen would be by far the easiest thing to do. Now,
you wouldn't hold onto the ball, though, the second you got hit, probably.
That's the difference. Now, you would have pads, and you would have a helmet, but your brain would also know that you're about to get destroyed. Now, because I played baseball, and because I hit an 83-mile-an-hour, now I'm 50 years old, so this is no longer the case, but I used to kind of think that if I got up in a major league box, I might be able to put the ball in play. Because I know how to swing, I know stances. I don't really think that against a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. But then I always kind of, well, again, this bubble screen idea. What if you just line up and before they can do anything, the quarterback just turns, unless it's Christian Hackenberg, who's going to throw the ball on the ground and it's going to be incomplete anyway. But the quarterback takes a snap. The guy who texted me will appreciate it. I said that. Takes a snap, he just throws it to you right there, and you just have to catch the ball. I think I could do that.
It's coming in hot, and it's only like probably 20 yards away. It's going to be coming in hot.
And you know you're about to get drilled.
Yeah, I don't think the average person could do that.
No, I don't think so either, but of those three things, because making a shot in the NBA, you're assuming you can get open. And by open, I mean...
Think about the defense that play in the NBA now. It's not as heavy. Maybe you're thinking 90s like we were talking about the other day.
Okay, but...
Nowadays, you might be able to just get open in the corner or something.
But this is like the Caitlin Clark discussion. If Caitlin Clark shows up at an NBA game, whoever gives up any points to her would be a laughingstock. So they would play defense on you in your face at all times.
True.
Like if... 5'8" Corey Geiger, what are you, 5'11", 6 foot tall?
5'10".
Yeah. You show up in an NBA game, they're purposefully not letting you get a shot.
Maybe. I don't know. I think if I was open in the corner, I can nail 1 of 5 probably. So I can shoot a basketball okay. So I think 1 of 5 in the corner.
You're getting a shot off though?
If I was open, yeah.
Yeah, but
I need to get this, open. I think this is
the Caitlin Clark discussion. You're not going to get open. You're not going to be open.
Give me four picks right now. If a guy
picks you up and they switch on you the way, again, you're right, the way defense is supposed to be played. In the NBA, a lot of times on the switch, they don't necessarily care. But you think you're getting open enough to take 5 shots. That actually clear the defender and actually have a shot.
How about a free throw? Do we think maybe I take a hard foul? Are we allowed to go to the free throw line? I trust the free throw line.
That's good. Well, I want to continue this here in a second.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code QUICK to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code QUICK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code QUICK for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
If you're a customer of Davidson Snacks Outlet, stand by for an important announcement. Davidson Snacks Outlet has moved to a new location. The folks at Davidson Snacks Outlet feel blessed to watch their business become a success, and they want to thank their employees and you. Davidson Snacks Outlet's new location is 16843 Dunnings Highway in Duncansville. It's the same great variety of your favorite snacks and great service now at a new location. 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Davidson Snacks Outlet.
So you need a good, reliable vehicle, but let's face it, the economy's not great. Gas and grocery prices are sky high. Bottom line is the price. So what do? You go to J&P Auto Mart. The folks at J&P Auto Mart know how you feel. That's why they want to give you the lowest prices possible, the bottom line price on a good used car or truck. Shop online at jnpautomart.com or come in and see the inventory in person. Ask about financing too. Good vehicles at the lowest possible prices. J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard in Altoona.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
All right, so here's some of the audio of this is a Tyler Glasnow is on a podcast, and he's being interviewed about Micah Parsons saying that he could hit 200.
This is Micah Parsons talking about trying to hit major league pitching. I want you to listen to this.
He played in 162 MLB games, 5 at bats every game. How many hits do you think you could get?
I think I'd get about 200. No. The pitchers are not good. Hold on, let me do the percentages because I think I can go about 200.
Oh, he's crazy.
Like average 200.
Okay. I mean, okay, what?
Well, what's your reaction? Go ahead.
First, I have to look like, did he ever play baseball?
No.
If he had a 500 at bats, 5 hits.
That's what I
maybe.
Said.
Yeah, 5 hits for sure. I don't think I think once he steps in and sees like a big league, like he'd be like, oh, never mind. Like it's a, you know what I mean? I think it's good to have the confidence. I appreciate the confidence, but 5 hits, maybe.
This is Micah.
I always like hearing from Tyler Glass. I remember when Tyler first came here in, 2015. So the story was that he visited for the Pirates Caravan in, February at the St. Vincent de Paul Soup Kitchen. They used to do the signings at Dick's or the mall or whatever. Then they went to the Pirates players going to the soup kitchen. So that was my first time meeting Tyler Glasnow when he was coming up to play for the Curve and interviewing him and him telling the great story of so get this Google real quick how tall is Tyler Glasnow now? Is he 6'8", 6'9"? So Tyler says that in high school, when he was like a freshman in high school,
6'8".
When he was a freshman in high school, he was 5'10". And between his freshman year and sophomore year of high school, he grew 10 inches to be 6'8". Now think about that. And it was always interesting to hear his story because a 5'10 guy, I mean, you can be a great player, whatever size, yeah. But you grow 10 inches, his body developed into this unbelievable pitching prospect. But I remember him telling me at the St. Vincent de Paul Soup Kitchen that he really wasn't a big-time prospect for most of his time in high school because he might go out and strike everybody out one time. He might go out and walk everybody the next time. His control was so bad that he had no control over his body. And especially being a tall pitcher, the number one thing you have to do as a pitcher is you have to be able to repeat your delivery in every way, shape, and form. And when you're 6'8" and you're tall and lanky, you've got to control every part of your all of your extremities to a perfect degree to be able to repeat your delivery. So I always remember that. And so I see Tyler, and Nathan was watching the video. I see Tyler laughing on there. He's like, no chance. No way. He might get 5 hits. Tyler Glasnow is the best statistical pitcher in the history of minor league baseball.
I never knew that.
In the history. When you look, I think his opponent's batting average off Tyler Glasnow in the minors, some of these numbers aren't quite off the top of my head, was like 174. So in his minor league career, it was about 600 innings, he held hitters to a 174 batting average and something ungodly like a 1.8 or 1.90. It was just unbelievable. So that's why they never gave him much of a chance with the Pirates and they traded him away for Chris Archer. So, of course, he's going to become a star when he leaves the Pirates. But Tyler Glasnow is a reason why Micah Parsons didn't get more than one or two hits maybe total in the big leagues. Because if you've ever seen that guy up close, he throws 98 with ungodly breaking stuff that's going to make you pee your pants if you're standing up there.
Yeah. I mean, if I stood up there, again, like I just said, would never get a hit. Never.
You ever watch the games on TV? You ever marvel at how much the ball is moving?
I mean, I don't. Usually it's a little hard to see on TV, but I'll see these clips after, and I just see these break-offs, especially like some like 12-6 curves and stuff like that. I mean, we're talking, what, a foot maybe break? It's crazy. It's crazy.
Some of this stuff, you're getting 12 inches of break. Jerry in Bellwood, what's going on, Jerry? How you doing?
Good. I think there's no question that hitting a baseball is the hardest thing to do in sports. But
what would be the easiest, catching a pass in an NFL game or making a shot in an NBA game?
Is Luca covering you?
That's literally. Did you say that on the air?
I didn't say it on the air. I said
no. Nathan said that 5 minutes ago during a commercial break. He said the exact same thing.
Yeah. Well, I think probably getting a shot off in a way only because you would know you're going to get broken in half in the NFL. That might scare you a little bit. I don't know that. It'd be. I think it'd be harder to get. It's probably. I don't know.
You wouldn't have the fear of getting hit in the NBA, so I feel like that's a big thing, is getting over that fear.
Nathan feels very confident, like supremely confident that he could get shots off in an NBA game. I find it very interesting how confident your face looks that you could get some shots off.
I think I can get five shots off an NBA game. Can one of them go in? Maybe. I think so, depending on how far I am away.
What do you think, Jerry? A 5'10" white guy, 150 pounds? 160
yeah,
pounds?
Yeah, 150.
You think he's getting 5 shots off in an NBA game? With against defenders who are trying? Not in some 30-point game, but with a guy in his face trying?
No way.
Okay.
No way. Hey.
It is not day in and day out. It's not day, but I think I could do it one game. One out of 82 games, I could.
All right, five shots off.
I
love the confidence, Micah Parsons. That's good confidence. All right, Jerry, what did you think of that stuff last night, man? The Celtics, they got control of this now.
Well, when I saw the first half, I thought, I even said to myself, the Celtics, even though they weren't hitting at first, I thought they're playing hard, they're playing smart, they're getting open shots, good open shots, not forcing them. I thought they, if they lost, that'd be just the way it goes, because sometimes shots aren't falling. And then they had the tremendous third quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, it was like a different team. It was like I saw it coming, you know, it was like they didn't realize what got them the points in the third quarter. They quit working the ball around. They started forcing shots. They started not taking care of the ball, having stupid turnovers, going one-on-one, trying to create their own shots. And it didn't surprise lost the lead. And then when Luka fouled out, I thought, this isn't such a bad thing for the Mavericks, because Kyrie, this is going to give Kyrie his shot of being the number one player, which, you know, he he wants to be, and he's a good player. And I thought that he might pull them into the wind, quite honestly, because when Luka's playing, you know, Kyrie kind of takes a little bit of a back seat, but he does like to be the star, like a lot of players, but he particularly likes to be the star, and he's capable of it.
Are you saying that Kyrie Irving fell flat?
A little bit, you know. I think he just kind of, he might have just
come on. Come on. I got no reaction. Nathan with no reaction. Jerry with no reaction. That's pretty damn good, man. That was a pretty good line right there.
It was good.
Might be good if you're from if you're from Arkansas, but
we're talking flat Earth theory today. That's the perfect time to pull it out.
I
cracked myself up. That's all I care about.
Yeah, well, good you can yourself. I thought that the Celtics kind of proved themselves by not letting the Mavericks, because if they would have won,
look, let me just tell you,
it would have been a devastating loss.
I thought the Mavs were going to win less. The Mavs are not a good team. It's hard to say that about a team that's in the NBA Finals. They're not a really good all-around team. They've got an unbelievable superstar. They've got another really great scorer. The Celtics are a great team. This team went 68-14, okay? The Celtics are a phenomenal basketball team. T-E-A-M. Nathan, you said you were worried about Jason Tatum, right?
Yeah.
Who cares? Who cares? They're awesome. Everybody else on that team does what they need to do for that team. I'd compare them to UConn over the past couple years. Can you name any players on UConn? UConn's won back-to-back national titles, covering the Vegas point spread in 12 consecutive games. One of the best teams I've ever seen in the history of college basketball. Not that there's one superstar like a Michael Jordan, but this to me is the difference in watching this series. The Mavs have a couple good players and a nice team that got out of the West. The Celtics are a tremendous basketball team.
No, I agree, but we're forgetting. Everybody was saying what a great team the Mavs were.
I don't think so. Anybody that I ever heard say this was that, hey, Luka's great. Luka's going to keep them in these games.
They were saying that some people were picking the Mavs to win.
Yeah. And I got one right here 5 feet from me, and they ain't looking too good.
Mavs in seven still.
Mavs in seven. Greatest comeback in the history of sports.
And they were saying that Luka and Kyrie were one of the greatest backcourts in NBA history. Do you remember that? Before the finals. And now the Celtics are up 3-0, we're seeing a lot of revisionist history. I just think the Celtics are playing very well, you know, and I agree with you, Corey. They are a very good team, and who knows what's going to happen Game Four? It's hard to close. It's hard to sweep any team, especially
Here's
on the
issue.
Road.
But this is the regular season. The thing is, go ahead.
They were talking up the Mavs after they made it to the finals, and they also had a tremendous record the final part of the NBA season too. So. I just think the Celtics weren't given the credit that they deserved. Maybe they will get the credit. I know they'll win. I mean, but
let me tell you a statistic. This is almost impossible to believe that this team's in the NBA Finals. All right, in the playoffs, the Mavs scoring leaders: Luka 28.9, Kyrie 22.6. P.J. Washington, 13.8. No other player in double digits. Not a single other player is averaging more than 14 points per game other than their two stars. No one else other than three guys averaging in double figures. Now, this is their regular season stats. Luka, 33.9. Kyrie, 25.6. Tim Hardaway Jr., 14.4. In the playoffs, Tim Hardaway Jr. is averaging 3.8 points. Their number four scorer, PJ Washington, 11.7. In the playoffs, he's at 13.8. Their number five scorer is Gafford, 11.2. In the playoffs, he is averaging 9.2 points per game. If you don't have 4 to 5 guys that can score double figure, look, everybody needs their guy that's going to score 35 or 40. But if you don't have 4 or 5 guys that can get you double figures every single night, I'm stunned that the Mavs are in the finals with only one other player averaging double figures.
Looking that way, I agree with what you're saying. And think about this: the Celtics one without Porzingis or whatever.
Porzingis.
You know, Porzingis. Yeah, I always screw his name up. But the thing, and the thing is, they. This is one of my pet peeves with NBA or any sports analysis. They always talk up things that they forget they said once.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. Hey, I've been a sports writer. I've had to make thousands of picks all the time. It pisses me off to this day that I picked Penn State to beat Ohio State last year. It pisses me off. I had never in my career, not ever, never had I picked Penn State to beat Ohio State. Never. Not one time. Because Ohio State always has better players. I convinced myself that week that maybe Penn State has better players than Ohio State. And you know what? I'm still convinced to this day that maybe Penn State had every bit as good of players as Ohio State, except for Marvin Harrison Jr. But to this day, I feel like I made that pick. This is what Jerry's talking about. We make picks based on kind of what we think or what we assume going in. And I knew Penn State wasn't going to win that game. And I made the pick almost just like as this, all right, well, I'm going to do something a little different here. If there's ever going to be a time, it's going to be this time.
It felt like the year.
It felt like the year. Yeah. And then you show up, and my God, their offense was atrocious. And Drew Aller played one of the worst games ever by a Penn State starting quarterback.
Yeah.
So to Jerry's point, when you have to make picks publicly, you open yourself up to ridicule. And I've had to do this for 30 years. I've been wrong a ton. But you know what? I've been right a ton also. And when you have to make picks, it is extremely difficult. I thought the Mavs would win last night. And you know what? They were right there. They got the momentum back and everything. And it was you kind of thought that they had a shot, right?
It felt like they were going to steal it. It felt like they were just going to come out. Maybe Kyrie hits a big three there. Yeah. That's going to give them a two-point lead that – you know, Tatum or Brown or someone misses, you know, a contested three at the end. It felt like they were just going to, it felt like everything went their way because I was debating turning it off and they were down 20, 21, whatever it was. And then next thing you know, I'm just sitting there. I'm not really paying attention. 10-point game.
Yeah, it's close.
5-point game. Oh, all of a sudden it's within two. It's like, oh, geez, that happened real fast.
But that, and look, not stats don't always tell the story, but Tatum, 20, this playoff, just playoff stats.
Yeah.
Tatum, 25.2, Brown, 24.9, Derek White, 17.5, Porzingis, who hasn't played much, 13.5, Drew Holiday, 13.2, Al Horford, 9.5. You're going to get contributions from
that
a bunch of different guys.
They just have so many scorers. Derek White is so good.
Not only that, they've got good basketball players who know their roles on the team.
Exactly. They got great. And again, like he was saying, they kind of went away from the ball movement in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, they were just moving the ball around perfectly. I mean, it was everybody, they were getting open shots. You know, whether it was Jaylen around the corner, you know, Derek White would bank one at the top of the key. It was something. Everything was going their way because they were passing the ball around. They would find the open shots and they weren't forcing anything. And that's how they let the Mavs back in it. So if they don't play like that in game four, no chance the Mavs even have.
Well, you picked the Mavs.
I did.
Can I assume it's that you thought there was a possibility Luka would average like 38 for the series? Because that's really, or that Kyrie would just not, to steal my own joke here, would not fall flat. Because to me, the only chance I saw, I thought Luka might go for 45 or 50 once or twice because I have just unbelievable respect for him. But they don't have anywhere near enough of a team unless he's going off for 50.
I mean, the reason I picked him, it's got like a good underdog story. It's like, okay, this Celtics team was built to win it. Everybody thought since the beginning of the year, this is the team that's going to win it. This is the year they finally
get it.
You're
doing the contrarian thing.
Yes. And I thought, you know, maybe it was kind of like a 2016 Cavaliers type thing where, you know, everything just goes their way at a certain point and then they got all the momentum. Because it's about which team's hot. And I guess the Celtics have been hot all year, but it felt like the Mavs were, you know, in a stride. They were in a roll here. And I was like, listen, this might be, you know, just a case of the Celtics just don't want to run into him right now. This isn't the time to, you know, face the Mavs in the finals because the Mavs are striking on all cylinders.
Yeah, and the Celtics, you know, outside of like a 2-week little dry spell, maybe late in the regular season.
Yeah, they've been perfect.
Have just been phenomenal. Nebraska man, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Good, Corey. How are you?
Nebraska man, what's a dumber statement? That Kyrie Irving thinks the earth is flat or that Micah Parsons thinks he could bat 200 in the major leagues?
Michael Parsons thinks he can bat 200 in Major League.
I agree. There you go. All right. What do you think? What do you got on the NBA Finals, man?
Well, Corey, I'll tell you what. That game last night, to me, I was taught a leader is to show by example. And Luka last night showed absolutely nothing.
Yeah, yeah.
He would, every play he was on the refs. He was looking over at the bench, yelling at the coaches to challenge the play, to challenge the play. With 4 minutes and 12 seconds left to go in the game, he knew he had four fouls. They came the whole way back being down 21 points, cut it to four, then they cut it to one, and I thought, well, here we go. They're going to come back, and they're going to win this game. But he showed his true colors last night. Luka is all about Luka. I do not believe he's a leader. He doesn't set any examples at all. He should have stayed in that game last night. He should have watched the fouls, and he should have laid off a little bit on the fouls to make sure he could stay in for the final 4 minutes. But I'll tell you what he did last night. With all that crying and yelling and screaming on the floor, to me that was ridiculous.
I love the call. You've given me an idea for what we're going to talk about for our last 6 or 7 minutes about players and leadership. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it, man.
Kyle Larson leads the Cup Series point standings by 14. He's got 3 wins this season, and he leads even though he missed an entire race of points for the Coke 600. Let's hear from Kyle.
Gosh, I just don't know if I'm going to have time to, you know, the distance that I'm going to have to leaders, I just wouldn't know if I would ever have time to get there. And then, yeah, I'm just out there clicking laps away. I felt like those guys pitted really early into that run. And so then I ran out in the lead, it felt like, for a long time. And then, you know, I wasn't sure if people were on, like, a three-stop strategy. So, like, when I made my final pit stop and came out behind the guys that had pitted, it seemed like a lot earlier than me, I was like, okay, I mean, this can be pretty easy. I beat Ross, you know, I didn't let him pass me. Like, all these people are probably gonna have to pit off in front of me again. And then I was asking, like, hey, am I racing these guys or what? And they're like, yeah, you're racing all them. Like, oh my God, I'm still like 10th. So I knew I was gonna be faster for, you know, 8-10 laps, but I just didn't know, like, once the tires came up to temp, if, you know, they would equal out at some point because there were still 20-something laps left. So, it did. It definitely got closer to equaling out, but I still just had enough, you know, once I got to third and slowly was gaining on them and timed it out, you know, right to when Martin, you know, got racing with him, that I was kind of right there to capitalize.
You're on the final lap.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online? Go to hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation, discreet shipping if prescribed, and the process is 100% online. To start your free online visit, go to hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hank FM.
thank J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. They are our presenting sponsor each and every day. If you're looking for a pipe, cigar, tobacco blends, head on over there. If you're heading out to a camping trip, hunting, fishing, ball game, wherever, 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 4 on Saturday. Always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. Now, Nebraska man called in a few minutes ago. Nathan was talking about Luka Doncic and leadership and all that and the crying and the fouling out.
Yeah.
I do think that is a great topic to discuss. And because here you have clearly the best player, unbelievable scorer, gigantic crybaby, terrible example around others, yelling at everybody all the time. If you watch the Mavs during the regular season, he cries nonstop. He does everything that you teach people not to do. But he's awesome. So what is the example that somebody like that sets if you're a young person watching a game and you see him bitching about every single call?
It's not a good example. It's not a good look because, I mean, like, you got to take accountability at some point for, you know, your mistakes, your actions. So whenever you just blame it all on other people, I mean, you're going to get nowhere because you have so much of an ego, you're so much of a narcissist that you think everything revolves around you. I mean, it's the bottom line. It's not a good look whatsoever. It's not a good look.
So how do you change it, though? Because he's the best player. He finished second in the NBA. I think he finished second in the NBA in scoring this year, 34 points per game. He's awesome. He's first. He's 33.9. Led the NBA in scoring. Okay, but did Kobe do that? Did MJ do that? Now, LeBron complains some.
LeBron does that. Let's be honest. LeBron does
that. No. Not to Luka's extent. But I mean, LeBron complains. There's no question about it. But Luka's like the worst. Okay, well, even if you want to use LeBron as an example of shut the hell up. I mean,
the difference is LeBron could still lead a team, I think.
Like, yeah, I agree.
LeBron can get people to rally, like, listen to him. And is it because of his, you know, reputation, his legacy? Maybe it's because of that in his later years. But whenever he was doing that in the early to mid-2010s and stuff, he didn't have a ring until 2011.
Right.
So it still took him 8 years, or 2012, excuse me. It still took him 9 years to get one. So, I mean, I think, you know, I think the difference is he could lead men. I don't think Luka can at this moment.
At this point, he's 20. Okay.
He's still young. He's still very young.
He's 25.
Yeah, 25.
He's not American.
Mm-hmm.
So he's playing with, by and large, a bunch of people, you know, who grew up in a different culture and society than he did. And he is the best player. But you got, I got to think that even somebody like Kyrie, who's, you know, got his own issues, I got to think that these guys probably think to themselves numerous times a game, shut the hell up.
Yeah. Jason Kidd needs to bring in Dirk Nowitzki this offseason. And they need to, him and Dirk and Luka need to sit down and have a conversation because Dirk was a great leader. He was also European. He came from overseas. And he led the right example. I honestly don't remember
great
him.
Point.
So I think maybe, you know, sitting, I think he's still with the Mavs organization in some.
Would he listen? That's the key. That's,
if you're listening from a guy like Dirk, who is the Mavericks, I think he would. His ears would perk up.
Unless you've got an ego of like, he's got like, well, I'm better than you anyway. Why should I listen to you? And who knows if he's got that or not.
He might, but I don't think he's ever been like checked on. Like, I don't think it's ever been exposed like this. Because this is the NBA Finals. Everybody's watching. I think everybody sees now, oh, this guy loves to cry about everything.
That's why everybody rooted for Dirk
the
year they won the title. Now, because, I mean, Dirk's an incredible player.
Dirk is one of the most underrated players in
NBA
history.
Probably a top 25 or 30 player of all time.
Yeah, easily.
I mean, unbelievable.
Probably one of the best power forwards of all time.
Yeah, 7-footer. I mean, I talk all the time about Embiid and Jokic, who can get, you know, a 7-footer, can go out and hit the three. Well, Dirk was really the first one.
Yeah,
first
he was the
trailblazer.
He was the trailblazer in that category.
So everybody rooted for him. I think everybody roots against Luka. I mean,
maybe.
I don't know how much you follow tennis, but he's like a Novak Djokovic. Everybody just hates the guy, you know, for whatever.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Novak Djokovic is the best tennis player of all time. People hate him because he complains a lot. He's he comes across as a crybaby.
That's probably why a lot of people, you know, don't like LeBron. Maybe Mahomes is getting to that extent because you see Mahomes complain about a lot of stuff. I think people don't like people who can't accept, and the difference is I think maybe LeBron and Mahomes can accept when they're wrong, and they can come out and speak and say, hey, listen, you know, I didn't handle that in the best way possible and all that stuff. I haven't heard LeBron do it as much, but I know Mahomes does. I know he gets a lot of slack on the field, but he'll come out in the press conference and say, like, hey, listen, that's on me. I need to be a better teammate. I need to keep my composure, stuff like that. So I think when people are able to take, you know, action for their responsibilities, it shaves a lot of those worries off. But a guy like Luka has not done that yet, to my recollection.
And we could do a whole show on the what message that sends to kids. Travis Kelce screaming at Andy Reid, yes, in the Super Bowl, which created a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm.
Luka Doncic, you know, just being a gigantic crybaby, technical after technical all year, because and yet you watch kids. What are they learning? They're learning the exact same thing.
They're learning Luka.
Okay to do that.
Yeah. Well, with the Kelce thing, if anybody does that with coaches, it's not going to be acceptable. I think that draws the line. But there'll be a lot of people acting like Luka. I'm sure a lot of, you know, younger kids looking up to him.
Yep.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
At Shoofly, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoofly, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoofly believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoofly's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com.
Shoofly.
Your feet will thank you.
Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House offers residential treatment for adult males affected by drug or alcohol addiction. Their facility is located in the Fairview Hills section of Altoona and is licensed to house 16 adult male residents who are seeking halfway house treatment services. Phoenix Domus is actively looking for referrals. Email referrals at phoenixdomus.com or call 814-515-2055. Rise above the grips of addiction. Let Phoenix Domus Rise Above Halfway House help.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
These are great discussions we've had today, Nathan. I enjoy when you come in here. We just shoot the bull on just crazy stuff. You enjoy this?
Oh, I love it. For the day, I love it.
You know, it's interesting. I like having a co-host, just whatever, you know, whatever fun topic comes up. So, again, just to be clear, you think you're hitting a shot in an NBA game?
If I'm taking 10 to 15 shots, one will fall if it's open.
I'm thinking I'm catching a pass in an NFL game because okay. I'm just going to stand there on the line, seven yards away. I'm going to hope the quarterback turns and just throws it right to me, and I'm getting the hell down right then, but I'm going to say I caught a pass.
There
it doesn't
you go.
Have to go for positive yards.
It doesn't. It could, hey, you can have one catch, negative 2 yards
That's
on
fine.
Your record. That's fine.
I think I could pull that off. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring, Altoona.